Hey, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Man, what a jam-packed great show for you today. A recap of the convention. We had Representative Vernon Jones on from Georgia. He's a Democrat who spoke last night. Charlie Kirk also joined us. We also went to Elijah Schaefer, who was out in Wisconsin. He had a gun pulled and dry-fired in his face last night. He's in danger. There's a lot of people that really need our prayers. Mike Lindell, also. He was torn apart on Anderson Cooper, and it's a crazy story on what's going on. We had him in studio with us, COVID. But don't worry, we're all, you know, eating crystals, so we're all fine. I'm sure that's totally fine. And, of course, the recap of last night's convention, which I thought was incredible. Stu?
I don't know.
I didn't say anything like that, actually. Yeah, the stuff I saw was really good.
Lying the whole time.
I thought it was really good what I saw.
Yeah. Tonight, convention night number two, we'll cover it on radio. Here's today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
America is at a crossroads, and that crossroads is the choice we have to make right now between returning to the founding message and the founding promise of you can do it. Let's just get government and people out of your way. You can do it. It's a place of law and order and fair and honest justice. Not one of social justice, and certainly not a cancel culture. And everyone is involved. Last night, I saw the Republicans do a couple of things I've not seen them do before. One, actually produce something that wasn't a piece of crap. I mean, usually the Republicans produce things and they're just like, oh, come on, just stop.
It's like the version of like the bad, you know, religious movie that gets released.
Yes.
And it looks like that looks like a good story. And then you watch it and you're like, gosh, what do they put $12 into this budget?
Oh, so awful. Yeah. Last week, the Democrats did what I expected the Republicans to produce. Okay. And it was horrible. And I'm like, just can we learn from that? Let's not do that. Well, they didn't. In fact, it wasn't that they just didn't do that. They did something really, really good. And I think actually COVID helped. I think the fact that there were no crowds there allowed everyone except Guilfoy to talk to you one-on-one, to actually just speak to you. We didn't have the annoying applause lines. We were like, come on.
Yeah, it gets through it a lot faster. You get more content.
You get more content and
more personal.
It allowed people to be really, really personal. So what happened last night was no bells and whistles. No fakey balloon drop, you know, where the Clintons or the Bidens were like, whoa, what happened? Balloons, where did they come from?
I never would have imagined balloons in this situation.
Right. There was none of that. And it was honest. It just felt real to me. I don't know how many people watched it. I almost didn't watch it because I'm like, oh, it's going to be. And then I watched it and I couldn't believe how good it was. Now, the second thing I said, I haven't felt this way since 1980 with Ronald Reagan. Here's why. What happened in 1980 is we had gone through 10 years, more than that, 12 years of just being beat to crap. From 1968 to 1980, America was the worst. We went from burn it down, everybody's a racist, to crap, you can't trust the president, all politicians are corrupt, to Jimmy Carter and the economy. And Ronald Reagan came in and said, enough of that. It's not who we are. And America was so hungry to be told, you're part of the solution. The problem is the government. That's what happened last night. And we are 12 years in to being told how crappy we are. So we're repeating. This is like 1968 to 80. This is 08 to 20. And we're tired. The other thing that happened that I have not seen in my lifetime, because it probably happened maybe in the 60s, but by 68, you know, with the Great Society garbage, the Democrats worked some sort of magic and hypnotized all of African Americans and basically said, if you're not black if you don't vote for Democrats. And the Republicans in my lifetime have just given up. They're like, they're never going to change. We're never going to be able to get anything. Why waste the time? And you're like, because they're Americans? Last night, without any placating, without any promises of, I'm going to make sure that you have a new big screen TV. They actually invited African Americans to the table and said, help us make America better. Come and claim your seat at this table. And I thought it was extraordinarily powerful. Extraordinarily powerful. Let me give you a couple of pieces and highlights. First of all, well, let me just give you a couple of highlights. First, let's go to Kim Klasick. She was on with us last week, and I said, boy, the Republicans need to listen to her. Well, they did. And here's a piece of her speech.
The days of blindly supporting the Democrats are coming to an end. In Baltimore, we have the highest number of black Republicans in the entire country running for office this election cycle. Joe Biden believes we can't think for ourselves, that the color of someone's skin dictates their political views. We're not buying the lies anymore. You and your party have neglected us for far too long. We want safety in our neighborhoods. We want to make the most of the federal opportunity zone I'm standing in right now in West Baltimore. We want higher paying jobs and more business opportunities. We want lower taxes. We want school choice. We want a chance to get ahead, not just get by. That's what President Trump promised, and that's what President Trump delivered. I want Baltimore to be an example to Republicans around the country that we can compete in our inner cities if we reach out to the citizens and deliver real results.
There was a real concerted effort to speak to African Americans as if they are actually capable of doing something on their own, where you don't get that from the Democrats. You don't get it. They're always like, oh, these poor people that have always been, you know, kept down, blah, blah, blah. The Republicans gave you dignity. I mean, it was a dignified approach to saying, hey, stop it. Stop. Come over here and just do what you're meant to do and help us build a better America. I thought it was so refreshing, so refreshing. Then Herschel Walker, and it wasn't just a speech or a package. It was the theme of the whole night, and it was for all colors, but they had so many powerful African-Americans speaking. Herschel Walker, here's the next cut, cut two.
I take it as a personal insult that people would think I've had a 37-year friendship with the racist. People who think that don't know what they're talking about. Growing up in the Deep South, I've seen racism up close. I know what it is, and it isn't Donald Trump. Just because someone loves and respects the flag, our national anthem, and our country, doesn't mean they don't care about social justice. I care about all those things. So does Donald Trump. He shows how much he cares about social justice in the black community through his actions. And his actions speak louder than stickers or slogans on a jersey.
Now, that was another theme that I thought was subtle, but very, very good. You'll notice that last week with Joe Biden, it was all about, oh, I know Joe. I've known him for 40 years. I've watched him over the years, and I know him. He's a good guy. That was the message last week. This week, the message was, I've met him. I don't know him. I mean, we're not pals. I haven't watched him over the 40 years. In fact, this is only the second time I've been with him, or I was only with him once. But I feel like I know him because look at what he did. That was the difference. Joe Biden was, yeah, he's got a long record of saying he can do things, and there hasn't been a lot of stuff done. But I know him, trust him. This one last night was, I don't know him, but I know what he's done. That was much more powerful. It was a secondary theme. I don't know if anybody picked up on it, but it was that theme. Look, I don't know him, but because of this, this happened, and I saw him in action. Let me give you one more. This is Tim Scott, who just hit it out of the park last night on the evolution of the Southern Heart.
After starting my small business and spending some time in local government, I decided to run for Congress in 2010. The district is based in Charleston, South Carolina, where the Civil War started, against a son of our legendary senator, Strom Thurmond. You may be asking yourself, how does a poor black kid from a single-parent household run and win in a race crowded with Republicans against a Thurmond? Because of the evolution of the Southern Heart. In an overwhelmingly white district, the voters judged me not on the color of my skin, but on the content of my character.
Thank you. That is America. That's America. This is what we heard last night. The real America. It was so nice to hear people say, we're not a racist nation. We're not the people of the 1960s.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Mike is a friend of mine, and that goes beyond business. I'm not having him on because he's a sponsor. He has not asked me to be on, and I don't ever put people on that say, I'm a sponsor, I gotta be on. That's a fast ticket to not getting on. But Mike is here because I've saw something last week with you, Mike, that I've never seen ever before. I've never seen anyone treated like you were treated by a friend of mine, Anderson Cooper, who I just question everything I know about him because of the way he treated you. We boiled this down to 1 minute, but we can edit it in. It's a 20-minute segment. We edited it into one because 1 minute was just like the other 19. Listen.
I am just telling you, this is the answer. Wouldn't you want to save lives? Sir, this is what my heart is. I gave it to my friends and family.
Wow. You really are like a snake oil salesman. You could be in the old West standing on a box telling people to drink your amazing elixir.
I do what Jesus has me do. I give the glory to God, and I want to help people.
Jesus wants you out there promoting.
I'm not money driven.
Remedies that are not remedies because they've never been tested.
I am not money driven, and why would I do this? Ask yourself why I would ruin my reputation.
You don't have a great reputation.
I'm going to pray for you, Anderson. You're in my prayers, Anderson, because they destroyed me when I went all in for this great president. That's what it was. The Better Business Bureau of Minnesota is going after you.
The answer to that is yes, because Mike actually told me that story a few months ago off the air. I know the story of the Better Business Bureau in Minnesota. And yes, it is because of Donald Trump. Treated wildly unfairly. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Glenn.
I apologize for a guy I thought I knew before Donald Trump was elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised, but I guess I was surprised. I was supposed to be a 5-minute interview. It was 23 minutes. 23 minutes of attacks, and I'm going, wow, I must really be on the right page here. You're the right course.
Yeah. it was an absolute bloodbath. And mm-hmm. When I saw it the next morning, I was like, oh, I wish Mike would have known this piece of information. Mm-hmm. Stu, you looked this up till we have it all right, I believe. The Chris Cuomo doctor, the remedy that the Chris Cuomo,
yep,
guy on right or before or after, I don't know because I don't watch CNN, but the guy that precedes or follows Anderson Cooper had COVID, his doctor and his wife's doctor were on television and on the internet talking about astro bodies and how crystals and weird oils and everything else really are the key to changing everything.
Wow.
They never questioned. Do you remember that, Stu?
Yeah, she runs a little like lifestyle website and like publication, and in there that's all they talked about. And she blogged every day when they had COVID and Chris was being treated by this doctor. Who had all sorts of claims.
Remedies,
that,
right.
Yeah,
right.
And whatever, you know, you do what you want to do, but right. It's still like, for them, for CNN, of all places, to come after you, it's just remarkable.
For that.
Remarkable.
Yeah. For that. Yeah, yeah. Because you said that you had found something right. that, and are you selling it?
No, I'm not. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not for sale. It's not for sale. This guy called me. A little background here. I went to, you know, when I spoke at the Rose Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, from that point on, everyone in the country would reach out to me for 24-hour sanitizers and all these tears and everything. Well, this guy called me on Easter Sunday, and it just sounded different. He said, "We have all the phase one and phase two testings done. It just came out of University of Texas Medical Branch in the lab. It was all tested and it works." And I said, "Really?" Well, then I called my friend Secretary Carson, he's on the task force.
Mm-hmm.
I called him immediately, like I do, turn other things in, and he looked into it with them, and he says, "Wow, you know, he was just, this is the real deal. It was safe." They said because it passed all the safety things, I started taking it myself as a prophylactic,
mm-hmm.
and then any of my friends and family that got COVID, give it to them, and 2 days they're fine.
Yeah.
So I had my own due diligence plus all these testing. I read the stuff they had tested on over 1,000 people. It was for 19 years have been around for, they had done it for cancer treatments. So that's where they got their safety test from. Okay. Well, anyway, these guys, this company turned it into the FDA and everything in April, just to get on the dietary supplement list, because, mm-hmm. you know, there's no reason not to put on because it's passed everything. Mm-hmm. And now I see it work more and more. And I see these other tests they're doing mm-hmm. on people, and I'm seeing it from my own eyes. I'm going, this has to get out there. This is going to save our country. It's going to save lives. I'm saving personal lives, and people that knew me are calling me up. Hey, I got the COVID, and they would be, you know, a couple days they're fine, and then they're testing negative. They're back at work. I mean, it was just amazing.
It's like hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah,
well, it's where they
suppressed it.
Where it's almost as if people don't want things to work.
Right.
It's almost like the left is trying to destroy. Look, I don't care if Chris Cuomo was sucking on a crystal every night and he thinks it works. Go ahead, talk about it. I'm not going to suck on a crystal, but why do I have to make him into the worst person in the world?
Yeah. Well, that's what they, we know what he
especially
did.
When it's actually medicine, it's not crystals. There's actually medical.
Yeah, there's actually medicine. Yeah, this is a medicine, and it's either, you know, so the FDA then, for the last 4 months, they've been dragging their feet on this for both either the dietaries or an IND. Just let's try it. It's safe, so why won't we try it? Well, this company then, you know, I've obviously following along. I wanted to, you know, to get out to the public to save lives. Well, then the company said this about 2 weeks ago, it was the same week I went on to Anderson Cooper. They said, would you be on our board? And because when this thing was getting ready, we thought the FDA is getting ready to put it out there,
mm-hmm.
so we needed to scale it. They don't know how, you know, this is a massive thing, and mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at that. I've scaled a lot of things, and so I went all in. I said yeah, I'll come on your board, and I said I'll look at your manufacturing, which is right here in the USA,
mm-hmm.
and it would be probably, you know, a very inexpensive cure for our save our country. And I would never believe in something if I didn't see it work with my own eyes and stuff. So I did that, and then for Anderson Cooper going, you know, you did this for money. I'm not doing it for money. I do it to help people, and then the money will take care of itself. If not, that's fine too. You know, like my mask, he got me. He didn't say on the mask. I have $4 million of my own money into that. Did I, you know, give away the bottom line dollars, just given away, and all the stuff that we've done.
So, Mike, I do have to ask you this: what the hell were you thinking? It's CNN. What were you thinking?
Here's what I thought. You know, every time I'm controversial, the CNN, they never have me on. The View never has me on. They say they're going to, and then they don't. And I wanted to go right into the lion's den, right into the, you know, right into the hurricane. And so because the word gets out there more. Mm. Now, when I went on there, I expected some, you know, him to attack. But it actually kind of worked out the way I wanted because of everybody knows about this now, even though it's negative. But now all the good media is coming out about it. And you know what? There should be some pressure on the FDA because I'll tell you what, if they're suppressing, let's just say, I'm telling you 100% true, which I would put everything I have in this world on it. That's all. I'm all in on it. Well, let's just say that it is the answer. Okay. Now, if it's the answer and the FDA in this time of this pandemic and they're suppressing it or holding it back and how deep this thing goes, you know, why would CNN, you know, not want this out there? Why would Anderson Cooper, if he has family members, not want it, you know? So you wonder how deep it goes and you wonder what they do to our medicine in this country. If there's not a pandemic,
yeah.
You know, cures that are in Israel and Mexico and every place else that never get to fruition.
So I understand that, but if I didn't know you, for instance, I know the story of what happened in Minnesota with the Better Business Bureau.
Right.
If I didn't know you, if I only knew you from the guy in the commercials with the pillow,
right?
I'd think you might be a snake oil person. I might watch that and go, well, Anderson, I mean, he knows, and wow, the Better Business Bureau, I didn't know that, and well, that's ridiculous that the BBB would do that because of politics. I think they, what is it, libel or slander?
I mean, both.
Yeah,
I think, defamation of character.
Yeah,
he went over the top, and he did hurt us in that. You know, you're bringing up stuff from the past that he didn't even give me a chance to, you know, address. But I think I'm, you know, one of the things is it's kind of I'm so branded with the president. Yeah, in that respect. So people are going, oh, a lot of them probably said, oh, they're just attacking him again because he backs this great president. You know, but like you say, there is a whole segment because I watched my Twitter and I watched the Facebook and the social media. Uh-huh. This made worldwide news.
I know.
It went all the way across the world. And so, yeah, there was a lot of defamation there and a lot of libel. I mean, he's attacked. Call me a snake oil salesman. Then he tried to, you know, backtrack. Well, I don't even know you. You know, you don't know your guest, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the people in his ear telling him stuff in his ear, I think he was fed stuff. And I think he knew he went too far because he was getting angry. And I don't know why he was getting angry. When, you know, it was because I kept, you know, not standing my ground. I don't know. But it's like he's trying to destroy me. And I've never backed down in my life. I'm not going to back down now. So it's kind of, you're kind of doing some frivolous things here, Mr. Cooper, because I'm not going to back down.
And the fact, Mike, I don't think people know you. I mean, we did a podcast together, and I urge you to watch the podcast with Mike. It's there's one thing to say, because, I mean, no offense, Mike, but I mean, you were a guy on a TV commercial, and you were a guy that kind of looked to me like, you know, the Mattress Mac guy, who's a really good guy in Houston, but you don't see any of that. You just see the salesman.
Right.
Getting to know you, you have depth unlike what I've seen in most people that are in television, you know, or doing business or anything else. But you are actually driven by God. You are driven. Whether you want to make fun of that or you believe that or not, I know Mike believes that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he didn't mention that I was an ex-crack cocaine addict. You know, he didn't mention that. You know, people like to hear, they like to see hope, especially where we're at now. The American dream. Mine's like the American dream on steroids. I mean, it's, you know, I come from the depths. I come from all these different addictions and set free by God. And you see with God, you know, when that in the Bible, with God, all things are possible. Well, here I am. And it's also being in the United States of America, the freedoms we have that we're in, you know, that we could lose. This wouldn't be possible hardly any other place in the world. My story.
Oh, guarantee it.
You know, you would not. My friends are seeing me sitting in the White House with the president. They're going, Jesus is real. There's no way this crack addict is sitting next to the president. That's a miracle.
No.
All these miracles that have happened in my life. And I think that maybe that's what Mr. Cooper was afraid of, is that, you know, he's seeing, you know, I feel that, you know, I pray every time I go on anything and pray for, you know, that God guides my words and guides my path.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes. But I was keeping one eye on the convention and the other eye on Kenosha and the riots that were going on there. Main reason is because a coworker of mine, Elijah Schaefer, was smack dab in the middle of it. And I find out later that a gun was pulled on him. I guess the guy was not threatening you, but it sounds on the videotape that you have that he actually pulls the trigger. So it was it appears to have been an empty gun if that was the trigger pull. And he was explaining what he was going to do to cops if they rolled on him at that point. Elijah is with us now. Elijah, you're in Wisconsin. You're safe.
Yes, Glenn, I am safe. And thank you so much for having me on the show. But unfortunately, this city already under the heavy pressure of COVID and race tensions is definitely in a very bad position right now.
Tell me what happened last night. What did you see?
What I saw is something that I don't think you would ever want to see, especially in this country, something that looks like it's from a movie. These are wild people under the guise of fighting for black lives and against police brutality, indiscriminately destroying public property. And what I mean is I've never seen this before. They destroyed every single lamp post. These are large, you know, 15, 25 foot high public lampposts. They knocked them down in the street, broke open every window they could find, lit buildings on fire in huge acts of arson, destroyed dozens of city vehicles with Molotov cocktails, and they burned the city to the ground.
So where was anyone to stop it? Was there a police presence at all? I mean, this is a city under curfew. They blocked the freeway exits to make sure that people were not exiting into downtown, doing everything they could, you know, as a curfew. But was there any police presence? Was there anything to slow these people down?
Glenn, I know your viewers probably already can predict what I'm about to say, but despite the National Guard being there, they were deployed despite what appeared to be some sort of state or county troopers and police. They were not there to protect the private property. They were not there to protect the citizens of the town. They were in a line protecting the county courthouse. And believe it or not, the only people that were there deterring crowds during the state of emergency and the curfew were what appeared to be vigilante or right-wing militiamen who were armed in brigs and were successfully deterring rioters from burning down and destroying additional businesses, while law enforcement pretty much did nothing. While that's not a slight, that's just a report of the facts.
Well, the law enforcement on the street is not making the decision on what to do. Those are the people above them. That's the governor and the mayor. So this is, I mean, Madison, Wisconsin is one of the most progressive cities in the country. Wisconsin is a progressive state. What are the city leaders saying today? What's their plan?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm on the streets. I'm with, you know, some of my friends, George Ventura of the Daily Caller and Kaylin Delmeda of Scriber News. And we're out here. Where's ABC? Where's CNN? Where's MSNBC? But most importantly, where are the leaders? I haven't seen them. And I'm looking at business owners, people that are just confused because they're experiencing something that you shouldn't have to experience in the most powerful country in the world. We have the power to stop this. And there's not much that the city leaders can say besides condemning the violence. But when you condemn something, but yet turn a blind eye to it and allow it to take place, your words really don't mean anything.
But are they actually condemning it? Are they saying, Antifa and these riots? Or are they saying these are peaceful protests? You know, the usual crap from Seattle and Portland. Are the leaders in Wisconsin any different than those leaders?
You know, as of today, I'm not sure of any public statements that have been made. I could be wrong if one of your listeners will, you know, correct me. I'd love you to reach out to me, Elijah Schaefer, on Twitter and let me know if you know something. I don't. But I know that some of the live streams that happened yesterday, they were not adequate to condemn this to the full extent. And what happens is, and I think you'll know this, I'm predicting it's possible that the violence and the arson could be worse tonight because it accelerated last night from the night before. Because the city, this is where it gets crazy. I showed up after the first day. You know, I drove up here from Chicago covering protests and riots in Chicago about an hour and a half south. And when I came here, they had not even cleaned up the city from the night before. There were still burned city vehicles that were in the streets. They were barely putting up some barriers. There was maybe two police officers that I saw within a few square blocks of the uptown region. I mean, this city was not prepared for what happened. They did not properly prepare the following day. And from what I could see, they did not provide the resources to this area that were needed to prevent this. And you have to ask yourself, being from a state, being from a country like this, how do we not have the resources? How do we not have the ability, the National Guard? No, we do have those resources, especially in a national crisis like this. But why were they not deployed? It can only make you think and wonder.
Well, I will tell you this. I've been saying that Wisconsin was going to be burned down to the ground this summer because that's where the convention was supposed to be. They should have been more prepared on what to do in case of riots and civil unrest than any other city in America. It looks like you don't need the Democrats to come to town. They got their operatives there burning things down anyway. Elijah, I'd be interested in hearing from the owner of the car dealership that had the sign Black Lives Matter up on the car dealership sign, and yet they burned every car in the lot.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually sitting in front of it right now. This is to your surprise. So the first night, they only burned part of the car lot. Last night, they successfully destroyed the rest of it to the array of massive explosions of fuel tanks combusting due to high temperatures and absolutely intolerable heat. That you just could not handle from even 20, 30 yards away. I mean, these are intense flames. I'm looking at that sign right now. I'm not sure if it belonged to the church right next to it or to the car lot, but I will say this, it is melted. These cars look like they're out of a Steven Spielberg film set. That's what I feel like I'm looking at. I'm on a tour at Universal Studios, but unfortunately this one doesn't have a nice end to it. It just continues with violence, and it has to make you wonder. And you'll love this. The Democratic building right next to this is just about a block away, boarded up along with every other business, and it has its nice banners above, says "Vote Blue in November." I'll tell you what, this is what you get when you vote blue. It's ironic to tell people while your entire city is shut down. It doesn't matter what you put on your doors or your windows or your signs. Criminals do not follow party law. And a party that allows criminals to remain and to act unlawfully without proper consequence is not really a party at all. In fact, they've poised themselves against the American people, and they aren't even ashamed or hiding it anymore. And it's just sad.
Talking to Elijah Schaefer of Blaze TV. It must follow on Twitter at Elijah Schaefer. Elijah, you bring up something with this car dealership, and this is what I keep coming back to over and over again with every story you're covering like this. Day one, I understand. Like night one, you have this incident. It's a surprise out of nowhere. They burn half the car lot to the ground. Night two, I don't understand. Why on earth is the other half of this car lot being destroyed on night two as if they were shocked that this was going to go on? Why isn't anyone there to stop it?
And isn't there any uprising from the community saying, this is crazy, stop this?
I wish, but I'll tell you this. This is not the only car lot that ended up being destroyed. There was at least three other car lots that were the targeting of these vigilantes, both Black Lives Matter rioters, which wore the colors, et cetera, and the markings. But also, there were Black Bloc Antifa. I noticed some journalists and people from Portland. These people get around. They move in directions, the same direction, which is towards chaos. And I cannot tell you how sad it is to realize that we do live in a country where the government cannot protect your property and cannot protect your livelihood. And the only businesses that I saw that did not get attacked were the ones that took their own precautions, put up boards, and in many cases, and this is where I love this Middle Eastern gas station owner. Oh, believe me, he was out in front with his boys holding bats, some very serious firearms, and I'll tell you what, nobody damaged that business because he came prepared and he knew what it was going to take to live out the American dream.
It's crazy.
His business still stands while the car lot next to it is completely burned to the ground.
Okay. I've got so much to, maybe we'll have you on tomorrow if we can, to cover, what happens tonight. You say it's going to be worse. Let me just wrap up with this. The video, let's play the video of the guy pulling the gun out of his pants and pointing it right at Elijah and pulling the trigger.
What do we do? That's right.
We blew it at the...
That's right, man.
And what he was talking about is what he was going to do to the police. But when somebody pulls a gun out, a large gun, and pulls the trigger, what did that feel like?
Well, amidst multiple gunshots in the area, constant explosions, I didn't realize he dry-fired until I got a call from the CEO of Blaze TV saying, "That you just got dry-fired."
Yeah, you did.
Be safe, you know, get out if you need to get out. And I'll tell you what, I realized that this is why it's so volatile. I mean, if that had been loaded or if it had not jammed or whatever happened, I might not be here today. And I think that governors, mayors, city officials, senators need to realize that we are in a culture of civil war, and we are very close to this becoming violent, not because of the people they're accusing, but simply because when people are emboldened and, you know, mm-hmm. to commit crimes because they're not held mm-hmm. accountable, all it took was just one bullet in that gun to change this from a normal night to a bloody night. So that's where I'll leave it.
Thank you, Elijah. I appreciate it. Elijah Schaefer, Blaze TV host, Slightly Offensive.